So as you know, Jack is on vacation, and we're very pleased to have Reverend Robert Weber here with us. He served at Calvin for 23 years before retiring from Calvin, and then also 5 years as an associate at Murraysville. And we're very pleased to have him here today to bring the Word of God. Pastor Weber.
Good morning, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity and the privilege of sharing the scriptures with you. And I thought I'd take a very familiar text from Romans chapter 12, verses first two verses of Romans chapter 12. So if you'd turn there, I'll preach on that very familiar text, I think, to many of us who are here. These are two very common verses commonly referred to as far as concerns living the Christian life, and I thought I'd look at them in some depth this morning. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to share the word with you, and as Pastor Jack and his family are away, it's interesting. I know he loves to bike ride, and the pastor at Calvin now, who replaced me as the pastor there, Aaron Garber, also loves to bike ride. I don't know if those two have ever gone together, but they both enjoy that. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Yeah, I'm reading out of the ESV, although other texts will read similarly. And the outline I'm looking at actually was prepared with the NIV. So if it sounds like some of the words are different in the outline than what you have, it may be because the outline was originally prepared with the NIV Bible. And there are outlines over here on the chair, front chair where I was sitting here, the same outline that I'm preaching from, though not as detailed or marked up as mine is, that you're welcome to take after the service if you want to review some of the scriptures or review the outline at home or later time. Verses 1 and 2, Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray before we look at the scripture in more depth. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful text that your Holy Spirit has inspired Paul to put in your word, which is all inspired by your gracious hand and mercy toward us, to give us your instructions for life. And we pray, Lord, as we look at this text today, that you will help us to fully understand it, but more than that, help us to live it. Enable us by your Holy Spirit, who profess Christ as our Savior, to be living sacrifices unto the Lord, to glorify your name, Father, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout all of our lives, wherever we may be in whatever situation. Use this text, others I'll refer to, and use this sermon, this message you laid upon my heart, to that same end. We do ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a little bit about a life of a man that probably Pastor Jack has referred to himself, hopefully not too recently, but because his life is so outstanding in his devotion to the Lord. And his name is William Borden. William Borden. And I imagine many of you have heard that name and maybe have it referenced in a sermon or a lesson somewhere. He was born in Chicago, Illinois, in 1887. He was born into, obviously, the Borden family. His father was very wealthy and a very prominent Chicagoan, who made his money in silver mining in Colorado. His mother, however, was converted to Christianity, was redeemed, gave her life to Christ in the mercy of God in 1894. She began to go to the Chicago Avenue Church, which now is known as the Moody Church, after the evangelist Dwight Moody. Her son also went to church with her at that young age, and at some point, he soon responded to the preaching of the gospel and gave his life to Christ. From then on, William Borden's life was filled with prayer and Bible study. They were the hallmarks of his life. He went to Yale University in 1905, where he led morning prayer groups. And when he left the university, there were over 1,000 students involved in those morning prayer gatherings, Bible studies and prayer gatherings, at the time that he graduated from Yale University. He was, as those who knew him, an exceptional believer. His parents gave him as a gift, maybe it was common that day for the wealthy to do this, a trip around the world. And as he was going around the world in different places like the Middle East and maybe even over into China, he saw such poverty and spiritual poverty and false religions. He determined that he would become a missionary and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with the gospel amongst the Muslims of northern China. And there's a great Muslim population in northern China where he determined to serve as a missionary. Somebody said to him that he was, in essence, throwing his life away to become a missionary. In the back of Borden's Bible, there was a date shortly after that remark and the words, no reserve, no reserve. I have no other option in front of me but this one that God has given to me. No reservations to go where I ought to go, which is to serve the Lord as a missionary in China. No reserves. And as he went on, he went to Princeton Seminary. He got his seminary degree and served the Lord in during his seminary time, of course. He decided he would go into missionary training, but he gave away all of his fortune, all the fortune that was bestowed on him by his father. And his father was so distressed at the young man's choice, he said he would never allow his son to be involved in his business or to make money in the business his dad was in, so such as to say, to write him off. But he wrote in the back of his Bible after that remark, no retreat, no retreat. He would not look back. He was going to serve the Lord as a missionary, and he gave away million or millions of dollars to which later became the China Inland Mission and to other missionary causes. Gave away his fortune. He went to Egypt. He studied for the mission field, prepared for the mission field. He contacted cerebral meningitis while he was in Egypt training for the mission field. And he died at age 25. He was known around the world. There was great mourning in the United States when William Borden died at age 25. There was a great funeral that was held for him. And somebody who had his Bible later saw written down there, after his father said that you never get back into the business, because you want to go serve Christ as a missionary in China. His final words before he died, and words as he was dying, were, no regret, no regret, no reserves, no retreat, no regret at the choices God gave him to follow in his life for the glory of God. And I think when I read that account, and there's several accounts. You can look it up on Wikipedia with no trouble. And there's other accounts of it, of his life, and probably books about him as well. But when I think of that life, this text comes to my mind. The apostle says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what this man was doing. This is what Paul was encouraging under the grace of God, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ to do. Now, I want to start, I want to break this down. It's not a lot of verses, so I'm going to break down in various sections and just look at some of the words and the meanings and the phrases that are presented to us and consider them. First thing I want you to consider is the word therefore. It's the second word in the Greek. I appeal to you. And the words I appeal, therefore, in the Greek, to you. I appeal to you, therefore, as we have it in the ESV. Whenever you see the word therefore, you want to ask yourself, what is that word therefore? What's the purpose of that word? And the purpose of that word is that you might look back up in the 11th chapter, toward the end of the 11th chapter, where it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Who is God in debt to? No one. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. That's what the word therefore is. Therefore. To focus us back on the... all that we have is from him. All the grace and all the provisions, all the blessings of life, and all eternity is from him. It comes through him, his gracious choosing of us, and his sending his son to redeem us. And it's all to him, for his glory that we have been saved. And Paul caps off saying, to him be glory forever. Amen. That, therefore, refers back then to that verse, especially that 36th verse in chapter 11. Because God is not a debtor to us. He doesn't owe us salvation. He doesn't owe us a happy marriage. He doesn't owe us good health. He doesn't owe us a good job. He doesn't owe us nice cars, a good home. He doesn't owe us anything, but we are totally debtors to God, for which we ought ever to be thankful. Because all things that we have are from him and through him and to him. Therefore, Paul says, I urge you, I beseech you, parakaleo, it's a calling out. I press this upon you, brothers, in view of or through God's mercies or compassion. How does he put it in the ESV? He says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The word present, sometimes translated as it is, certainly can be translated, the word to offer. Because Paul was looking back upon the Old Testament sacrificial system. And there were five types of sacrifices. There was the, if you look at Leviticus chapter 1 and following, there's the burnt offering, where all of the meat of the animal was consumed in the fire. None of it was to be saved or eaten by the priest or by the sacrificer. Then there's the grain offering of dedication to the Lord. There's the peace or fellowship offering. There's the sin offering for sins, especially those that we commit, violating God's law, and then there's the guilt offering, which is for sins that of mostly of omission, that we weren't aware of or failed to do what God would have us to do. But this has to be focused upon that first offering, that burnt offering. Present your bodies as a living, not like the bulls, not like the goats of old, but as a living sacrifice. A burnt offering, a holy given over unto the Lord. He says, look at the text again. He says, present your bodies, your somata. It's not the soul here. It's not the heart he's emphasizing. It's the total being. He looks at our physical bodies in which our minds are and our hearts are and our total being. I think when he uses the word somata, he really has the idea of what you do, when you go, what you say, what you see, what you read, how you talk, in every aspect of your life, present your bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. This is what he's calling us to do. That in every aspect of our daily lives, not just as we sit in church, but every aspect of our daily lives should be sacrificed to the glory of God. Living sacrifices. The way we talk to our spouse in times of marital stress, to others that may be beneath us, in employment levels, a boss to employee, or speaking to those that are above us in our jobs, how you talk to your friends at school, or how you respond to the teacher, how your children treat your parents, how your parents treat your children, in every area of life, to do those things, to speak those things that are glorifying unto God. That's what it means to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't have to go to the mission field. If God hasn't called you to the mission field, or God hasn't called you in some particular ministry here at the church, then that's not where he would have you. But wherever you may be used of God, or whatever you might say, or forgive, or encourage another, whatever it might be that would glorify God, this is what it means to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. If you go back just a few chapters back. Well, let me go to the next part. Let me go to the words here. Present them as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The word holy here is from the word hagios, and I'm sure you've probably had, Pastor Jack may reference this before, but a holy thing is something, it may be a vessel that's used in worship. Here, of course, it's the vessel of our very bodies that is separated out from any earthly use or worldly use to a sacred use for the glory of God. That's what that word holy means. And Paul is saying, present your bodies unto God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Separate out from the world. Totally given over or consecrated to the glory of God, which is acceptable to the Lord. And here, this word acceptable, it comes from a Greek compound, euaristin, that I think the better translation would be well-pleasing. I think the NIV uses well-pleasing. I think it's a little stronger word in the meaning of the Greek, holy and well-pleasing. As the Old Testament sacrifices were considered to be, in the Old Testament speaks of a well-pleasing aroma ascending up before the Lord. So our lives should be separated from the world, set apart to God's holy use, and well-pleasing in his sight, which is your spiritual worship. This is interesting here. This whole verse is interesting to me, but this end is very interesting because if you look at your King James, it'll say, which is your reasonable service. The word logikon, you get the word logic from that, does mean reasonable, or if you have a footnote in USV, it'll probably say your rational service. The mind, logical, which is your rational service. Meaning that seeing what God has done for you, is it not rational or reasonable that for the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for us, we ought to give our lives up unto the Lord entirely as a living sacrifice. So it may mean that. The other meaning of the word that you have here is, which is your spiritual, and I think I'd rather say that your spiritual act of worship, that to give your life as a living sacrifice. And I used to think the other was maybe preferable, but I tend to lean toward the ESV and the NIV translation here too, more and more, because The term service, latrion, is a word used of the priests serving in the temple. So I think when I read this, I think Paul is saying, this is worship too. Not just here in New Covenant singing his praises and attending to his sermon, but it's worship when you go out of here. If you forgive somebody that's done you a wrong, if you hold your tongue against that sarcastic or unkind word you might say to somebody, if you back away from conflict so that you might have marital harmony, if you're a young person here and mom or dad says do this or that, you say, I'll do this or that because that's what pleases Christ. That's how I honor my parents. If a teacher gives you homework and you say, that's my responsibility. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do that homework because that's what pleases Christ. If something comes up on your computer or your phone and this is something you ought not to be looking at or listening to, or some type of music perhaps, you say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to take that off because that's not what is pleasing to Christ. An opportunity to share the gospel with someone who's unsaved, maybe a classmate, maybe a fellow worker, and God just opens it up for you to say something spiritual, to minister to their needs, to share Christ, and the need to confess your need as a sinner and look to Christ alone in faith as your Savior, to share the gospel, or at least to invite them to church and say, I'll do that because that's what God desires of me, as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, and well-pleasing to the Lord. This in the world is my spiritual act of worship of the Lord who loved me and has redeemed me through His Son. I like those words. I like that reading, which is your spiritual worship or your spiritual act of worship. I guess you could probably tell I did. I like that. I remember reading, it must have been the First World War, even though there was some aviation back at that time. It was a dramatic moment in the world's history when American General Pershing, placed the American Army under the command of General Foch, who had just been made commander of the Allied forces in the field. I think it's in the First World War. He says, in one sentence that he uttered at that time, although not widely quoted, is this: infantry, artillery, aviation, all that we have are yours. Use them as you will. That's the Christian life. If you have put your faith in Christ as your Savior, it should be, Lord, every aspect, what I speak, what I think, where I go, what I do, may it bring glory to my Lord Jesus Christ. You will never be disappointed in your life if you have that, or eternity, if you have that singular focus on glorifying Christ and presenting your life as a living sacrifice on Him. No regrets, William Borden said, dying at 25, no regrets. I did what would glorify God. The second verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now let's look at this a little closer. The Greek has an and there, so it's flowing. Present your bodies as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship, and in that, do not be conformed to this world. The couple things here. The word conformed, suskimitozo, has that added scheme in it. That's why some texts will translate this: do not be conformed to the pattern or the scheme of this world. Beloved, this world, I remember the pastoral prayer so well given, this world is going the opposite direction of the will of God. It has always gone that way. But I have preached the gospel and the scriptures for about 50 years. It's about 1970. Well, it was 1970. And I can see such, even, and that wasn't a godly time back then, but I can see such a change and a rejection of all things spiritual. In fact, I just tore out a page of an article that I received. There are the percentage of the modern generation Z, which I think includes those up to 18 or 19 years old, that identify as atheists is double that of the United States population. Double that of the United States population. And millennials, from 44% now to 53%, say the Bible is not literal, just literal, just helpful, not be taken as the very word of God. A 9% increase. Everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature, not sinners, deserving God's judgment and needing salvation. 53%. Amongst evangelicals, that is, 78% of evangelicals, well, as they would call themselves evangelical, believe Jesus was a created being. The world is going in, well, let's go this way from your view, this way. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, do not be conformed to the world. And if you take a stand for Christ to serve him, you may face trouble, resentment, hatred. Beloved, our Lord Jesus, our Savior, was hated as he took a stand for our salvation and went to Calvary. Should we expect less if we love the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet we are called to do this. Do not be conformed to this world, to this age. A willingness to suffer, a rejection of the pattern of this godless life. As I was coming here, I passed people mowing the grass, riding their bikes for exercise. I got up in a line of cars. Oh, it's going to be tougher to get through this red light because there's six or seven cars lined up as I'm coming down past past Wall and next before Wall from Mile 30. And I was, these cars aren't lined up here in a row to go toward Monroeville. They're lined up to go left, from my direction left, to Aldi and Home Depot, because that's all there is to the left. It's another day. It's just another day. But if you're redeemed, if you love Christ, then you should say, Lord, make my body a living sacrifice. May this be a day kept holy to your glory, to sing your praises. And may the grace of God shine out in my life 7 days a week in spiritual acts of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, that word transformed, and many of you know this, comes from the word metamorphosis. Have you ever seen a monarch caterpillar, the stripes of yellow and green and black on it? And I've done this. I remember putting one in a jar and then watching that chrysalis, light green with little gold specks around the top. Not sure, just right near the top. Not sure what that's about. But out of that comes a butterfly. Let me tell you something. Scientists still do not comprehend how a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. This is the marvelous work of God. But in the same way, the Apostle Paul says, be transformed. Metamorphoste. Be transformed by the renewing, the making new of your mind, that you may, by testing, may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When you are not conformed to this world, but this is the book that you love, and this is the book like William Borden that you study, And this is the book that you live by, not by all the junk on television or what shows up on your computer or elsewhere, but the Scriptures, the Word of God. God uses this to renew our hearts and our minds to a focus away from the world, to glorifying Him alone. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way you think, your judgments, your decisions, your focus to do the will of God. And as you do that will, look at that last phrase there. That very last phrase. Renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I think what this last phrase is really saying, and this is my rendering of this, but others as well, then you will be able to prove, to see, to appreciate the good and well-pleasing and perfect, teleon, which means perfect or complete, will of God for your life. If you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, Paul says, I beseech you, I appeal to you to do this as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable or well-pleasing in your daily life, in your Christian walk, and you serve the Lord as your spiritual worship when you're outside this church as well as in the church. If you are not conformed to the way of godless life of this world, Sunday is just another day, they could care less about Christ. He's an interference to them. But He's beloved by those who give their bodies as living sacrifices. Not conformed to the world, transformed by the renewal of your mind. I believe it means then you will be able to prove, to affirm, and discern that indeed God's will for your life is good. And the last word, acceptable, actually means the same as earlier in the verse above verse 1, well-pleasing and perfect, glorifying to the Lord. I love this text. I heard a guy speak about Eric Liddell, the 1924 runner, this morning in a sermon, and how he died in a Japanese prison camp in China, as he gave his life to Christ, never looking away from serving the Lord. And I think of the Apostle Paul's life, where he says, again and again, follow my example. Could you say that to your children, to other Christians? Follow my example. Because I endeavor to walk with Christ and to live for Christ. And I see in that the perfect will of God for me. James Calvert was actually a Methodist. And the Methodists, they vary a lot in the different churches today, but Methodists were on fire for Christ. They weren't Reformed, but they did preach the gospel back in the early days of America and in England, faithfully preaching the call to humble your heart and confess your sins and be saved. James Calvert felt the call of God to the Fiji Islands off the coast of Australia. And so he and a group of others with him that he was leading were going to go as missionaries to evangelize the Fiji Islands. And they went by ship from Australia out to the islands. And as they were going there, the captain of the ship said, he begged them, he said, don't go to that place. He said, those people are cannibals. He said, they'll kill you. They will kill you. Calvert looked at the captain. I don't know if he said anything else, but I know he said these words. He said, we died. We died before we came here. We made a living sacrifice of ourselves to Christ. And that focus now is wholly upon doing His will, glorifying His name. We died before we came here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, May we who call upon Christ as our Savior and Lord present our bodies, offer them as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. May we not be conformed to this world. May Holy Spirit transform our hearts and our minds to focus on your will for your glory, not ourselves, not our popularity, not our successes in earthly things, only that we would bring glory to your name. And that by this also, we would see that indeed, your will for our lives is best. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.